Broadcasting from Hollywood, California, it's Grant's Rants, Hollywood Talk.
The Real Housewives of Potomac fall flat, but Cheshire Wives are spot on. We're talking celebrity deaths to celebrity Big Brother. Oprah counts points and money with Weight Watchers. Dish with Dan Babak and I right now. Let the ranting begin. I'm sitting across from host and TV personality, Dan Babak.
Hello, guys. Hello. It's good to be here.
I'm so glad to have you. There's so much that we have to cover. I can't wait to get into it. So Dan and I met at the AfterBuzz TV holiday party, and we hit it off.
I know. I was like, I like you, Grant. You are fun. And when can we work together? When can we do a show together? And then you said, well, I've got Grant Rance, so...
Yes, I just love your energy, and I said, we're going to have such a good chat, because we watch, like, all the same stuff on TV, so totally have to talk.
Exactly. We're reality TV obsessed, we watch all the same shows, we would talk about it in our personal lives anyway, so we may as well record it for Grant's Rance.
And we have some great mutual friends, friends of the show who have appeared before, like Megan Stecker and Fern Ronay. And
love them.
So it's like... We just knew that we were going to hit it off.
Done. Exactly. It wasn't even a thing. We're like, as soon as we met each other, we're like, yes, we're on the same page.
Yes, and a special shout out to @Kelly3222 on Twitter for recommending us to having this show together.
I know. When she said it, we're like, how have we not done this? And then Kelly tweeted us away and said, you guys need to get together and do a show. And we're like, hell yeah. So thank you, Kelly. We love you.
Here we are. Along with my new co-host for this episode, I want to introduce a new segment to Grant's Rants. We need to talk. Do you have a ridiculous comment, question, or game you want us to play? Something that you just need to rant about? Well, reach out and submit your inquiry to Grant's Rants Hollywood Talk Facebook page. Tweet me at Grants_Rants. And if you don't have social media, I want to hear from you anyway. You can email me at grantspodrants@gmail.com. grantspodrants@gmail.com. And just let me know your name and your location, and your question, comment, or concern could make it onto the air. Use the #GrantsRants. Other podcasts actually do this, and it's like called different types of mail and messages. But they only accept questions from people that pay to subscribe to their shows.
Ooh.
So I'm not doing that. I don't care if you're paying or not. No one's paying.
Exactly. Keep it free. Exactly. Yeah. Tough economical times.
There's not even a pay option here.
Yeah.
So I want to hear from you. I have like built up such a great audience, and I want to know what y'all are thinking. So let's do that. But first, let's take a moment to give our in memoriam segment of the show, celebrity deaths of 2016. We're only a few weeks into the year, but there's already a list.
There is. It's so sad because everyone says that things come in three. And it's like, it's just funny with the patterns of life. It generally, if there's one celebrity death, there's like two or three at the same time.
Yeah.
Every single time. Like with Michael Jackson, I totally forget her name now, but the girl that played the mum on Parent Trap died as well. And like there was,
oh yeah,
she died at that time as well as another celebrity. They all kind of died at the same time. Oh yeah, Farrah. So it's just interesting that it kind of goes like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, of course, the news of Alan Rickman's passing was all over my Facebook feed.
Mm.
Of course, famous for the Harry Potter movies and a lot of other things too. I mean, he's been in the business for a while.
Yeah, I do find it interesting though. Like it is tragic, all the deaths that suddenly people who weren't even fans of the person that died, like oh my god, I'm so sad.
Yes.
I love them. I mean, it's great to have support, but it's just funny when someone dies all of a sudden. I mean, he was a great person, but everyone's like, oh, he was such an inspiration to me. So you only read the first Harry Potter book, and you only watched two Harry Potter movies. Like you weren't that obsessed. But it's funny. Everyone
like me. I didn't get that deep into the Harry Potter world. I read the first three books and watched the first two movies. But I wasn't posting memes of Alan Rickman either.
No. It's just funny. And even I always find it funny. Obviously, all the people that died were very respectable people, and I do feel really bad, but I always find it funny when like assholes die, like people who were horrible people die, and everyone's like, they were just such a great person. I was like, it's sad that they've died. No one deserves to die young, but they actually weren't. Like they lived a horrible life. It's just funny when someone dies, suddenly they're a hero, and yeah.
It's true, it's true. And with social media, everyone has like a memorial now. You know, everyone gets to create this hashtag and all this nonsense. Shocking to me was Renee, Celine Dion's husband, and then her brother passing only a few days later. I mean, that is so much to handle and to have to internalize. I feel for her, I really do.
I do. I can't imagine, but I am so close to my family, like so close. And sometimes it's almost, this might sound really bad, but it's just because I'm so close with my family and I know Celine is with hers, I think I would almost like to lose two at the same time. Because I know if I had, you know, it would take me, like, because then you can grieve, you know, with it at the same time. Because it would take me a year, to, like years to get over one death in my family. And then if someone else died, it would take me more years. So it's almost...
I see what you're saying.
In a weird way, but I mean, it's tragic. It's just funny that like patterns in life, when everything is going well, it's going well. And then when everything's falling, it just seems all fall at once. It's just weird how the universe works.
Yeah. Both to cancer, it's just odd.
Yeah, tragic.
More cancer deaths. Of course, David Bowie, much like Alan Rickman, dying at 69 without the public's knowledge of knowing that they even had cancer.
Yeah.
David Bowie was an icon in my house. I mean, we had like pictures of him, and like my mom's laundry room had a bunch of David Bowie stuff, and I just know all the songs. It's just so fascinating that, you know, when he passed, so many people were playing David Bowie music, and it's like, oh wow, David did that song, and he did that song. I mean, he is just like covered so much and such a part of the fabric of music over so many, like, I don't want to say generations, I don't want to make him seem old, but people my age, my parents, in between, I mean, just very iconic.
Yeah, like he's like a few people when they die can say that they're an icon. Like he was an icon, and he was so progressive and just so ahead of his time, and was constantly he's an icon. But he'll live forever and ever because you know in everyone's heart and his music, he's made a difference in the world. He really has.
Speaking of David Bowie, over on Celebrity Big Brother in the UK, his death made ripples throughout the house. Of course, Angie Bowie, David Bowie's first wife, is in the house, and she's notorious for just being crazy. And there was a huge confusion in the house over which David had passed. I don't know if you watched, but Tiffany New York Pollard from The Flavor of Love, my all-time favorite show. I love her, and I just think she's just such a mess. And I can't call her Tiffany. To me, she's always New York.
Totally,
But it's odd for me to call her Tiffany, but that's what her name is over there on the show. She took the name of David. I thought it was a house guest, David Guest, from that crazy marriage with Liza Minnelli.
Amazing, I know. Oh, God, that's a whole other hot mess topic as well. That's a whole other show.
That's a whole show.
Yeah.
But, oh, that wedding photo with Liz Taylor, Michael, Liza, and David.
Give it to me now. I need to print that and blow that up and have it in my house.
Oh, my God. I tweeted it the other day. I've been, like, looking at it on my phone. So I'm just like, remember this? Anyway. So just Tiffany thought it was the wrong name. And this show, I haven't watched much of Celebrity Big Brother in the past. Is it always this volatile? Is it always this over the top at all times?
Always. Because I got into it last year. Two years ago when Perez Hilton was in there. And this, I don't know what it is about the Brits, but like they bring the drum. I don't know what it is about, but like it's crazy. I think sometimes because they are celebrities, they come from privileged backgrounds, and then they're kind of all these massive egos in one place and confined. It's a recipe for disaster.
I can't believe the stuff that the screaming, the hitting of cameras, and all the people ready to walk out. I mean, it's like every other episode, it seems like someone's ready to quit. And I've watched the American version of Big Brother, and I haven't seen really anyone walk.
Yeah.
In my time, it's happened, but I haven't really, like, in my most recent memory. But this show, it's like, they're like ready to go, and then like a switch. Then they're like, you know what? I'll stay. So those producers must be working overtime to get in their heads and like convince
them. Totally, yeah. But one thing I didn't like about it, I am all for the drama. I think it's, you know, a show, you've got to bring it. But I just felt like it was a bit insensitive to Angie about her former husband dying. Like, I know you've got to make drama and all of that, but I mean, don't. That's something very sacred and something very sad. You don't have to make drama out of that and confusion. It should have been handled in a much better way.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was handled so poorly, and the big brother never even stepped in. When she went to the diary room and she was talking about it, she's like, oh, I've effed this up. I've made a mess. like, they just let it roll. They let it roll. Like, they let Tiffany, like, Tiffany almost, like, came for her. When she thought that she was being tricked, and then she, when she was on the other side of the house, she almost, like, took off like an animal. They don't know who they're dealing with when they have New York in that house.
Oh, no, yeah.
They have no idea. In fact, they don't even know that she was famous for a cat fight. The most iconic fight with the spit. Just flavor of love. Just, ugh.
Look, I'm scared of Tiffany. Tiffany scares the living daylights out of me. Like, I can fight with my mouth, but I can't. I would run for the hills. Run for the hills. She's a tough woman.
I want her to see her win. I really do. I just don't think she's going to make it all the way. She's not very, like, copacetic and, you know, not very, like, likable, I think.
But interesting, she brings the drama, so we do like that about her, but yeah, scary. I'm scared of Tiffany. Scary, yeah.
Yes. I just can't get enough of her. Now, as of the time that we are recording this, she is up for nomination. And of course, by the time most people hear this, that nomination and eviction ceremony will be carried out in its entirety. But I want people to save her. I'm not ready for her to go just yet. I think she brings a lot of entertainment to the show. And with others, I find them to be a little two-dimensional.
But do you know what they actually do? Having 9 producers on Celebrity Big Brother. Well, obviously it's all through the editing as well. So if they want some, if someone's boring, they kind of contrive it to make, you know, so the audience vote them out.
Yeah.
But in part, a part of their budget, they have like money set aside to save the people they want to save on the show. So a lot of the time, because, you know, someone like Tiffany is bringing the drama and she's very unlikable to the public, but I mean, she keeps the show very interesting. Okay. Part of their budget is like, so team members of the Big Brother team will vote to save.
Oh, wow.
Because that's not against the, you know, that's not against the rules. It's just like the general public.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So they pay people off sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
Mm.
You know who needs to go from that house is Christina.
Oh, God.
She doesn't do anything. I mean, I need to keep it real. And, like, I want to see people actually participate and do things. I mean, she does what she's got to do, but, like, she's not doing anything extra. She's just showing up. What do you make of Gemma?
I like Gemma.
Yeah.
I like it. Do you know, another one that is, I think she brings a new element. I think there's no one else like her in the house. And, yeah, I'm team Gemma. I do. I mean, at the start, I was a bit like, but I do like it. What about you?
Well, that girl will find any opportunity to insert herself in the drama. She is what you call a grade A stirrer.
She is. But I love the stirrer.
But I love that.
It's a reality show. Like, so in real life, I mean, I don't want to do drinks with her. Scary again. But you have to, like, when you're in a reality, you have to bring it.
Yeah.
So I believe that she is, in real life, probably a great person, not into all that, but she's in the Big Brother house.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's going to bring it.
She's going to play the game.
Exactly.
And that's what I respect most. And that's really why I like Tiffany so much, because she's in there with a strategy.
Yeah.
She wants to win. She's not there to make friends or to hook up. Like Scotty T. She's actually in there, like, really wanting to play the game. And that's, of course, after watching the American version of Big Brother, where it's so much strategy and competition wins and really, really game-changing and, like, getting in people's minds to get them to do things for you. This show is so much less than that because it's all based on the public vote. It's not so much, to me, so much game-playing. But I love when people go in there and they're going to try to make it work anyway in their favor. And they're going to manipulate. They're going to wear a mask and try to fool people. I like that.
Yeah, yeah. I almost feel like Tiffany is like bringing the public into it. So she's like, guys, I'm going to do this. Like, and once again, bringing the fun, bringing the drama, making it interesting. See, we can't get enough of it. Even if you hate her or you love her, you're talking about the show.
Yes.
And you're watching.
And if you haven't checked it out yet, it is a crazy ride. You really need to check it out on YouTube. Search Celebrity Big Brother 2016. And just give it a shot, because one of these people is just going to make you go crazy. I mean, exactly. They're all nuts. So I think it's just so well cast, and I am in it to win it. I really am.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about another reality show across the pond.
Ooh.
The Real Housewives of Cheshire.
Love. Oh, my God.
When I found out that you watched the show, I said, this is going in the show. I can't wait to talk about it.
Totally. Because not a lot of people, like, I know Khloe Kardashian is now into it, and like, a lot of celebrities are getting into it, but I am obsessed. I love Lauren. Love Lauren.
Lauren is, her and that husband, they are a duo that you don't want to mess with. I love them. She, at first, I was like, oh, this one, I couldn't handle it the first episode with Lauren. Yeah. I was like, major eye roll at Lauren. But now I'm like, okay, I get her game. Like, she just walks into a room where the people are hating or what. She is, like, enjoying it to her fullest.
She doesn't care.
I love it.
I love it. Because, I mean, so many people, even if you are a strong person, you know, we're all so self-conscious. Like, oh my God, what are they going to think? She's like, this is who I am. This is what I believe. I don't care if you either like it or you don't.
Yeah.
And I'm not apologizing for it. And then she's got her, like, husband, because usually it's like a balance. It's like a yin and yang. So if you've got someone like Lauren, who's very out there and stuff, then her husband would generally be more reserved.
Yeah.
But her husband's just like, they're just like this power force duo, and they just, world domination, yes. Those two.
I know.
You wouldn't want to be on their bad side, but love.
I love that they're like, yeah, like a power force duo where they just kind of look out for each other. Like, they're not going to let the other one get railroaded.
No.
They're not, but the two of them aren't afraid to put something in the middle of the table just to piss people off. I love that.
Like, and you kind of see them
I need that in my life. I need like a counterpart to be able to stir the pot and then be like, oh, I don't know what you're talking about. And have each other's back.
Exactly. And who do you not like? Because that's always fun. Who are you not liking?
Well, I find Leanne to be a total airhead.
Yes.
However, she does have a nice house.
She does.
And I like her loyalty to that ice cold bitch. What's her face? Dawn?
Dawn, yeah. Oh my.
My favorite is Magali.
Magali? Yeah, because we were talking before and I'm like, who's your favorite? And Grant's like, I'm going to reveal it on the show. So Magali.
Magali, I love, because I love anyone that talks in third person.
Yeah.
And the opening tagline isn't even correct English. I just love it. She goes, the opening tagline is, would you mess with me? You better don't mess with me. Don't mess with Magali. So that's like bad English opening tagline for a housewife show. And it's third person. So it's like, oh, that's like a trifecta for me.
Done.
I just love her. And I love that her, like, this girl, like, needs a stylist. Like, but she, like, doesn't look the best, but she comes in. I can't just. I'm actually, like, tweeting with her the other day just for fun. And she said something about me going around wearing an invisible crown. And when I asked her if the housewives is coming back for season 3. So I don't know what she's about, but I'm in. I just can't get enough of Magali Gray.
And obviously, a lot of the Real Housewives, you know, from series to series to series, they're all kind of similar. But we've never had one like her.
No,
I love that she's a bit daggy. I love that she's like can't really speak English. Like before, I thought Yolanda couldn't speak English properly, and I was like, Yolanda, you know, pay for some English lessons. You're so rich. And this one, she's like, fun. Second favorite, but you know, I've got to say Lauren's energy, yes, and her power, like, I just can't get enough.
And of course, honorable mention to Tanya, beautiful Tanya.
Love
who's
Tanya.
Just like,
yeah,
such a good burst of energy. But I mean, this show, if you haven't checked it out, it's like there was a birthday party for a rabbit. There was an argument over whether someone paid for tickets to a charity ball, the creme de la creme ball. I mean, what else nonsense is going on? Oh, whether or not someone could freeze their eggs and have a child to 40, and if it would be just as good as a frozen pizza.
Exactly. They're just fun. I find that people in British, they're kind of, we even see with Lisa Vanderpump on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, even though we both don't like her, but they've got a bigger sense of humour.
Yeah.
Like, they can kind of go a bit more dirty,
yeah,
and they can kind of laugh things off.
Yeah.
So when drama gets really real, I feel like it's more intensified than Americans, but they don't let the small things bother them.
Yeah.
But then when big things happen, they're like 10 times more angry and more psycho than the Americans. Yeah.
Now, let me ask you, when you watch Treasure Housewives, do you have to put on subtitles? Because sometimes I have to put them on. I'm like, some of the things they say, like, I had to look up what gobby meant. Like, I wasn't.
Oh.
That's just, yeah, not a word.
Oh
that
my God.
She's like, because Dawn's opening tagline is, I'm gobby and I'm full on. So I was like, hold on, what does that mean? So I had to look up because those aren't, I don't use that commonly. I really don't.
Yeah, well, obviously, because I am Australian, we use a lot of the same. Because obviously, like, the Brits moved to Australia. So for me, I can understand every single thing. But then I know, like, people who watch The Real Housewives of Melbourne, the Australian one, and the Americans, like, we can't understand them.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Obviously, because I am Australian, I get it, yeah.
It's very, like, American of me to not completely understand everything. But I'm getting more into it as I study up on the UK reality TV.
Because what definition did you get for gobby? Because gobby's got a couple of definitions. So I want to know.
It was, like, straight on. Like, it was, like, very, like, no filter, like, slash, like, just, like, very, like, in your face.
Because
that's what I got on.
Gobby also means a blowjob. Gave them a gobby.
Well, you know, during my research, I came across that via the Urban Dictionary. And because my parents were asking, oh, Grant, what does gobby mean? So that was the first definition I found.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we all kind of concluded that That might not be the opening tagline.
No. maybe it is. Maybe, you know. But I think it kind of was, because it has got the double meaning. People automatically, you know, because they hear Gobby on the tip. Like, what? Yeah. Yeah, so that's what Gobby, yeah, especially, you know, that's what it's mainly used for. So that's its main meaning. So there you go.
What do you think of Ampika?
No. It's just funny. Like, I just feel like she hasn't kind of done anything too interesting. Kind of hasn't done anything. I mean, nice, but I don't think she brings a huge flavor to the show. What do you think?
Mm-hmm. I like her. Yeah. I think she's cool, but I think she's looking like a fool.
Yeah.
Going between these two men.
Yeah.
You know, she's one of them. She's divorced from, but she might as well be living with him. I mean, she needs to get her act together. But I do think that she's quite entertaining.
See, I don't know what it is. I mean, I think she brings nothing to the show. Like,
really?
I've just seen it so many times. Like, especially with all the Real Housewives, everyone's had that kind of drama between the two men. I'm just kind of like, I've seen this done before. Like, so that's why I'm not as into her storyline as the others.
Well, to your point of kind of seeing things played out previously, that's kind of how I felt with the premiere of The Real Housewives of Potomac.
Yes.
I kind of felt...
I'm so confused. Where is that? Like, I'm still a little bit confused. I'm still like, where is that? Can you educate me? I'm still not sure.
Well, I love that Bravo embraced it and they created the hashtag Where's Potomac, and they had the promo where the Bravo voiceover guy is like, is there a typo here? Where's Potomac? Like, I love it. They just embrace it.
Yeah.
That said, it's in the state of Maryland by DC, which we've already had. Every Housewives of DC that failed miserably, whatever.
Yeah.
The thing I will say is, I just don't think it's needed.
Yeah.
I think I can understand New York. I can understand Beverly Hills. I can understand upcoming Dallas. I think that's a great region that's untapped. But I don't know if we need this. I've said this on this podcast before. Potomac, no one's checking for them.
Yeah.
But I think that, of course, I don't expect, like, Daniel Staub quality drama episode one. I don't expect table flipping. I don't expect, like, you know, unbelievable drama with things being thrown at the start. That said, I will say, I mean, there wasn't enough shade thrown. It was kind of all the stuff we've already seen before.
Yeah, and what I thought it was going to be originally, and this is what I think they need to do, because it's a market that hasn't been tapped in, and we've only really seen it with Honey Boo Boo. I thought this was going to be, like, a really ghetto series. Like, oh, I thought we're going to get, like, we have a word, like, redneck.
Yes.
And Bogan in Australia. Like, I was hoping, like, kind of a bit more on the poor side. Like, how funny would that be? Wouldn't that be hilarious to see these, you know, people from a lower socioeconomic thing get down? Like, I want to see that. Like, the Real Housewives of the Bronx. Like,
yes.
The Real Housewives of...
Like, they should do, like, a small town in, like, Tennessee and have it be on, like, the CMT channel. Like, because that really is where a lot of their shows take place. Like, it's very embraced. Like, I'm not being, you know, stupid, or I'm not being insulting. I just think that, look, they had, like, Party Down South. Like, they chose the right location for that.
Yeah.
You know, and that was a different type of demographic. I think it would be nice to kind of switch it up. Now, this show revolves around two things, in my opinion. It revolves around an all-black cast, which is great, and I love it.
Yes.
But it's in an area that's primarily white, so there's a lot of constant conversation about being black and who thought who was Section 8 and all that, and it's like, I don't know, I just think it was like too much on the nose.
Same, because this is like almost like a segue to Oprah. I think the best way, you know, if to talk about issues is to just be. I think that's the most influential. I mean, we've all seen those, you know.
I do agree with you.
You know, people who are overly Christian and just shove it in your face, people who are overly vegan and just talk about all the stuff. I think the best is just to be.
Exactly. I do agree.
And I feel like they're just kind of hashing on it too much and just allow it to be.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, like myself and many people, we are quite colorblind now.
Yeah.
I think that it really doesn't necessarily need to be such an issue of an all-black cast. I think whoever is there, if they're interesting enough to be cast, I'm in. And the second thing that was a theme carried throughout was the theme of etiquette. And, you know, I can appreciate etiquette, of course.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think I'm a very classy gentleman myself.
Of course.
But, you know, I just think it was like, it came up too many times.
Yeah.
I mean, what did you think of when that girl got the gift?
I'm one of those people, I love the class. Like, I love the nice dinners, all of that. But I feel like it's a bit pretentious with the whole etiquette.
This girl got a gift and had all rules of etiquette on it with a mirrored frame so the girl could see herself as she read the rules of etiquette.
Yeah, I'm just not down for it. I just think it's so pretentious, and I don't like rules of any type of thing. Okay. Just do you. I mean, you can be very rude, you know. You know, there are things that are unacceptable, but for the most part, stop putting pressure on people. Stop trying to put people in a box. If you come to my house, if you want to wear a designer gown, great. Or if you want to come in your flip-flops and sweatpants, whoever you are, you're my friend, you can come here. So I'm just not into all these rules, and you got to do this, you got to do that, in order to fit in with this high-class woman. It's like, just do you. If you're a great person, you're a great person. I don't like the whole etiquette thing. What about you?
Yeah, no, I mean, I just think it was repetitive and redundant. However, that girl, Giselle, walking upstairs in someone else's house with a stranger to the host of the party, that is a no-no. I'm sorry. I don't like people in my personal space. I think bedrooms are off limits.
Yeah.
For the most part. Unless if you're invited in. But, you know, of course, she said she felt like the hired help in the kitchen. And it's like, oh, Lord. But I do like that Charisse.
Yes.
I think she's going to be interesting. Of course, Karen is really trying to lead the charge with being the Lisa Vanderpump. And I will say I have a bone to pick with this woman over the constant reminder that she's married to the Black Bill Gates. The Black Bill Gates lives in Potomac, Maryland, and he has to wrap his wife's gifts, and she has to drive herself around. I don't know about
that. I find her a little bit inauthentic. I just feel like she wants to play the character. She wants to be the matriarch. And I don't like that. You can just kind of see there's something about her where she's calculative, and she's like Lisa Vanderpump. She's playing the game, and she wants to be seen a certain way. One thing, you can't do that in the Housewives series, because it comes out eventually.
Yeah.
And people will say, you're playing the game, you're not being... And then it all comes out. Yeah.
It's true. It's very true. Yeah. I gave the show a B. I live tweeted it. My tweets are still up if you are interested.
I gave it a C+.
I give it a B, but if I'm going to give it like a plus and minus, then I would give it a B-.
Yeah.
I really would. You know, I gave it a B, like just a core letter grade, but yeah, if I'm going to be technical, I'd probably give it like an 82.
Yeah, because I watched it and I'm like, okay, cool. Now I'll watch that if there's nothing else on. Cute. But I'm not obsessed. Whereas Cheshire, I'm like obsessed.
Oh, I can't look away.
Yeah, can't look away. Whereas that one, I'm like, yeah, I just think it was... What's the point? We've already got so many Housewives franchise. Two seasons max. It'll be like a DC or a Miami. Yeah.
Well, let's totally switch gears. Let's look at Oprah.
Ooh, yes.
Have you caught these Oprah commercials that are out there that are, oh, they say women are crying watching them. It's old shots of Oprah trying to run up a hill and trying to do an exercise and struggling to finish a set. It's like, you know, Oprah's purchased 10% of Weight Watchers and the world now knows about it.
Absolutely. And that's what we're saying, because I always say I am the biggest Oprah fan alive. She's my Jesus. I love her. And I never falter. I can't falter, really. But I think she has made a huge mistake here, because I don't like that on... She is one of the most, I would say, she's had one of the most influential women in the world. I think she is.
Oh, yeah.
She's the most influential woman in the world. She's undoubtedly had one of the most successful careers for women in the world. And she's done that as a lady who has not been the thinnest girl. And I think she's an example that you do not have to be perfect. Like, she was the minority. She was a little bit overweight. She had a big nose. She was from American descent. She had the funny name.
Yeah.
But she was that example of, as humans, we're not perfect. Mm-hmm. And, you know, constantly trying to better yourself. And she's saying what I didn't like: inside every overweight woman is the knowledge of the woman she can be. So it's kind of saying that, like, you are not enough if you are overweight.
I can understand that.
But yeah, I think you are enough. And I don't think everyone's got their, you know, addictions and everyone's got their things. And you know, and that's a very personal subject. People are addicted to food, and it's their form of emotional eating and all of that. So I don't like that. I think she should be an example of a curvy woman who is still healthy that is not obsessed about what she weighs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw her on Ellen, and she was talking about how she never wanted to get involved counting points. And that's, of course, exactly what Weight Watchers is a point system. So to me, I'm like, I know, I guess she says it works for her and she lost 15 pounds in a short period of time. But if that's just not something you wanted to do, then why are you doing it? I just think...
Yeah, and I just think... I'm like so passionate about this topic. Yeah, totally.
I think, I didn't realize that that was still, like, such a thing. Of course, like, when you think of weight, you think of, like, the wheelbarrow she brought out and the jeans and all that. She's very iconic to the overall image of weight loss.
Yeah.
And the way I understood everything was that she probably got a call from Weight Watchers. It was probably, like, a shot in the dark. Like, let's see if we can get Oprah on this. We'll start at the top. And she bit. And I think it was, like, that's how I perceived it.
Yeah.
I think that they just got really lucky that she wanted to give it a shot.
Yeah.
Because she's never endorsed anything.
No, she doesn't, yeah.
So it's amazing that they got her. I mean, what a win for them. Their stock doubled within the same day of the announcement. Crazy.
I think she is, because something which I love about her is she's always authentic. But I think she's being a bit inauthentic here. And that's what I don't like. I feel like she's got her business hat on with this thing and she's not delivering a true message that she truly believes.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Mm. Oprah, I don't know. That commercial was so over the top.
I always love what Kathy Griffin says about Oprah, because no one ever goes Oprah. Because everyone's like, you just don't go there.
Yes.
And Kathy Griffin always says, the comedian, I love her, but she thinks she's Jesus. And it's so true because she does. Doesn't she? She does think she's got a bit of like, I know it all.
Yeah. She's, yeah. Well,
this is how you do it.
Yeah.
But like, yeah.
Very profound in her speaking. Like the yeah. other commercials where she sits there and she's just kind of just discussing it. Like, I bet Weight Watchers is seeing a tremendous, you know, uptick in their... women and men wanting to get involved now that she's there. So I don't know if it works for her, and I guess it'll work for other people. I mean, I guess at the end of the day, she's just trying to benefit her followers and, you know, the people in her life that, you know, really, you know, follow her career. But I am a little surprised that she almost didn't latch on to somebody else in the industry's weight loss plan that she would endorse herself versus just Weight Watchers. I feel like it was odd.
Yeah.
Well, as we ponder this, start pondering your questions that you can send to me in our Grants Rants We Need to Talk section. And I really do want to hear from you. So reach out to me on Twitter, the Grants Rants Hollywood Talk Facebook page, and email me at grantspodrants@gmail.com.
You're listening to Grants Rants. Please rate, subscribe, and share on iTunes and social media. Spread the word. There are a lot more rants to come. Follow us on Twitter at Grants_Rants. And now for the one-on-one.
Back with Dan Babick from Melbourne, Australia.
Woo!
So how do you manage to be from there and be so close with your family? You mentioned that earlier, and just be so far.
Oh my God, I am like family obsessed. Like I am beyond family. Like that, to me, that is the most important thing in your life. So it is hard. But in saying that, I think it's good motivation, because I always say, if I'm here and if I'm going to be away from my family, I have to work my butt off and I have to make it worthwhile. So if I'm just kind of hanging about, kind of, oh yeah, just working this kind of job, having a, you know, kind of normal life and not hustling and not going for a greater cause, I'd rather be back in Australia.
Yeah.
So it does give me that motivation that if I'm going to sacrifice that, that I really, really have to succeed and work tirelessly to make my dreams come true.
I totally get that. Yeah, and I'm pretty... I complain about the distance that it takes me to get home, but you have a very long road ahead of you and you want to go back.
I know, like, I'm like... me and my mum are best friends. Like, I will call her. If I go home with someone at night, I'm like, oh my God, mum, I woke up in this apartment last night. I've gone home with someone. She's like, how old were they? I'm like, they're 35. She's like, you're 21. You can't do that. And, like, I've told her. There is not a secret that she doesn't know about me. Like, I tell her everything. Well, I'm like that in my life anyway, but usually, you know, with your parents, you're not... You know, you don't reveal everything, right. But there's nothing that she doesn't know about. Nothing.
Well, I get that from you, that you're very transparent, and I think that comes back to your brand. So let's talk about that and really your overall goals and really what you stand for.
Yeah, well, I think that you should never be ashamed of who you are or even ashamed of your experiences, because at that time, that was, well, when you know better, you do better. And I think because I grew up outside of Melbourne in a small town, and I was always restricted. I couldn't say this, obviously being gay in a small town. I had to be this. I could never do this. And I was constantly had to pretend to be someone I wasn't. And I thought, celebrities especially were my thing to go to, Hollywood. Because I saw these fabulous people who were just over the top and being themselves. And I think, almost like a Lady Gaga thing, I think if I reveal everything, like I will talk about being depressed and doing drugs at a club or... going home with someone much older than me because I felt insecure. And because I think if I'm willing to reveal everything and go there, it makes it easy for everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not ashamed of anything I've done because it was just part of my experience at that time. Yeah. And I want people to own what they've done and move on and just embrace themselves. Whether, you know, whether you're a lady from New York who lives in Manhattan that wants to move to Vermont to make maple syrup, or you're like a West Indie that wants to move to Hollywood and be an actress. I just think if that's, as long as it's authentic, because I think there's a lot of delusion, yes, you can't do anything you want to do. If I wanted to be the next Beyonce, it wouldn't happen because I can't sing or can't dance. But if you have an authentic dream and you really want to do something, I want to empower people that you really can do it and just be yourself. That's the most important thing. Because mm-hmm. I think when you are yourself, things naturally flow.
Yeah.
So I really do try and be my authentic self at all times. Mm-hmm.
Now, what are the goals, the long-term goals that you hope to accomplish? Benchmarks.
Well, I mean, I'm pretty crazy, so I want it all. I'm like, if you're going to go big or go home. So eventually, you know, I'm obviously doing my red carpet hosting now, so I'll do that, you know, for an E and all of that. Have the reality show in my life. Have the blazer and the fashion line, because I love clothes. And menswear isn't as, you know, like, we don't kind of have an affordable kind of Hugo Boss line, or, you know, an affordable...
This is true.
I'm blazers. I'm blazer obsessed. So I want the fashion line. And then I want the book. Mm-hmm. And to just talk about, obviously, my experiences and all of that. And then so I kind of want... I want to build a bit of an empire.
Yeah. Sounds like it. Like a real strong brand where you're just super versatile and you're able to really do these things. Not just slap your name on something. I feel like I see you just...
No,
like,
I would never slap
really
my name on something.
Really doing it. Yeah.
And I would not represent... Yeah, I would never represent, you know, obviously, like... I don't want a name brand, but a lot of people, you know, represent Pepsi or Proactive. But I personally don't drink Pepsi, and I think it's bad for your health. So
yeah,
I would never do that. And if Proactive came and offered me $10 million to be the face of Proactive, I would never do that because I've used Proactive and it didn't work for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I would only, like, I'm not into that. I only would do things that have worked because I want to help. And because it is such a frivolous and superficial industry, I think it makes you think there has to be more than that. So if I'm in such a superficial and fake industry, I have to be producing and working towards something bigger. Because if I just had to stand there and look good and wear a blazer and say my lines, nothing would fulfill me and it wouldn't be worth it.
Yeah.
So,
You seem like a super positive spirit and really just getting things, like hammering it out, hustling, getting things
hustling,
done.
Hustling, yeah.
How do you deal with the moments that are a little more humbling or maybe something that didn't work out for you?
Quite good. I think it's just, someone once told me, if you want to be part of the 1%, obviously because 1% of people are presenters and hosts and interviewers, and obviously build empires, you have to be prepared to do what only 1% would do. So I know when I moved here, I slept in, I slept on a bunk bed in a youth hostel. I moved houses 7 times in 11 months when I first moved here. I didn't have friends for 8 months. I spent Christmas, my birthday, New Year's, and Easter all alone. But most people would give up. I had 2 cars blow up and everything went wrong. But I'm like, it's in those times where you really have to push on. And it's hard. It's very hard.
It is.
I know that most people, like 99% of people, would have gone home after, you know, everything crumbled. So I keep that in mind. If you want to be part of 1%, and I think it drives me because it is my passion, but wanting to make a difference in the world. I'm not a small person. I'm a big person. I want to give. And I feel like I've got something to give. And if I'm not giving it, like, that's just a waste of time. So I just always remember that. I really just want to help people and honor myself as much as I can.
I love your sense of self. Love that. You're just like so full on with it. You know exactly what you want out of life and you're doing it. I love that.
Totally.
And that's what the show is all about, really. I mean, it's like, I always say, like, Grant Trent's Hollywood Talk, parentheses, like Hollywood Hustle, like, you know, we'll talk about the celebrities and we'll do all that stuff, but it's also like really just what keeps you motivated.
Totally.
And how you just manage your way through what I think is the most difficult business.
It's so hard.
I mean, so it's like, where do you begin? So a highlight for you was being on a segment on Ellen.
Tell
me about this.
Where I'm from is so middle class, and it, like, everyone is a laborer or a nurse or a teacher or works at a grocery store or works in retail. Like, there's not, no one does, or God, like, no one does extremely glamorous careers. There's been, like, no one famous came from where I lived. And I always believe I was meant to be famous. Mm-hmm. Always. I used to say that when I was little. So for where I'm from to say I want to build my own brand and to become a reality TV star and be like Ellen DeGeneres, people think I'm crazy. So when Ellen came to Australia, I said to everyone, I'm going to meet her and I'm going to get a segment on her show. And everyone said to me, you're crazy. Who do you think you are? That's what I had. And I said, I believe, who am I? Because my parents have always taught me that no one, you're not better than anyone else, and no one is better than you. So I said, I don't believe I'm better than anyone, but then why now am I less worthy than other people to have an Ellen show? Just because I'm from a small town, I'm not worthy to be on Ellen? That's like, yeah, you can't reverse it. Like, yeah, no, I am worthy and I'm going to get on it. So I camped overnight for like 2 or 3 days. It rained. I didn't come home. My parents thought I went nuts. I called all the media and I was in this Ellen DeGeneres underwear screaming, I want to meet Ellen. And I would not stop until the producers would see me on the TV and approach me. And then sure enough, they saw me and they just said, oh my God, like you're trending. Look, this guy in his underwear from this small town. It's like, I'm meeting Ellen. I'm not leaving until I meet her. And they loved it. And then it just snowballed after that. And they kind of said, what do you want? We'll give you your segment. What do you want to do? And then, I wanted to raise money for this particular cancer charity because my dad was going through cancer. And yeah, gave us $10,000, which we donated to that charity. And I got my segment.
Wow. You just say your mind to it and you're...
You do. I'm like, you just keep saying it. Like, everyone's like... I'm just like, just do it. Like, if you want to meet Alan, like, be like, yeah, just whatever it takes.
Right.
Yeah. And then people were like, what annoyed me. It's funny. I never get annoyed in life. I really don't get annoyed. But when people say, oh, afterwards, you're so lucky. I would never get on Alan. I'm like, but would you be prepared to go in your underwear for like 3 days in the rain and scream, I want to meet Alan. If you probably did that, you probably would have met Alan as well. So, yeah, it's just action.
That's it. Action over luck.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I create my own luck. Thank you very much.
That is the way to do it, especially in this business. You're going to create it yourself.
Absolutely. Yes. I'm not happy. I don't want to wait for the phone call to call. I'm calling up. Mm-hmm. If the phone rings, fantastic, but I don't live my life waiting on other people.
Yeah, you can't. Oh, no. Tell me what you did in this segment.
Yeah, well, it started off, I just painted, a graffiti thing, and I just spoke about my family's story with cancer and all of that with Ellen, and it was just kind of, explaining why I was there and how, about the Australia experience, and it was, it was really nice. It went for about 8 minutes, I think, and it was good. So she interviewed my family, and I did this painting thing. I did, a challenge, and then she gave $10,000 to the best drawing, on this painting, and we just kind of spoke, and it was just really natural and authentic, and... Yeah, super cool. One of the highlights of my life so far.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Let's talk about red carpets. Of course, you're out there interviewing celebrities, and you are on the carpet for the Days of Our Lives 50th anniversary. I did catch some of that. What was that? I think you mentioned that was one of your better experiences, like your best interview.
It was funny because I was never a Days of Our Lives huge fan.
Mm-hmm.
And when I found out I have to cover a carpet for 50 years of Days of Our Lives, I'm like, how am I going to catch up on 50 years? I was so nervous. But what I did with that one is, because there were so many people, I interviewed like 60 people that night, because obviously it's 50 years of actors and actresses.
Ugh.
I really mixed it up, and I didn't... I'm lucky that I work for an outlet that is not like E! Or Entertainment Tonight, where you have to only ask particular questions. I've got particular things I've got to cover, but I can really ask what I want. So I just had natural conversations with people. And because I was just what I wanted to know, because I was like that, I found the celebrities were really receptive to me because I wasn't being a particular host. I was just asking, what questions I wanted to ask. So, the girl who plays Chloe, Nadia, she was the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. I was just looking into her eyes and thinking, like, flawless. So I asked her, like, do you ever get insecure? Because, obviously in Hollywood, they put so much emphasis on what you look like and how does that make you feel? And she said, of course. I mean, for the first 5 or 6 years when I was shooting Days, I was the most insecure, not confident in myself person ever. And that's amazing because, a beautiful woman.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
And you just think she would never. And just to kind of normalize her. And I'm like, And then she said, at the end of my life, does it really matter what I looked like or memories I had with my family, what I had to contribute to the world?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, how nice for girls, to have such a powerful message. Because some people look at like someone like that and think perfect and all of that. But she's like, no, I'm just like everyone else, and I want to empower girls that what you look like is not important, and what you say and contribute to the world is much better. And then Deidre Hall, my interview with her was amazing. I didn't know a lot about her. Obviously, she played Marlena, and she's a veteran on that show. She's an icon,
mm-hmm.
and she just had an amazing energy and aura about it. She had the light, when people have got. She had that about her. And
she's a true star.
She's a star.
Yes.
Yeah. Some people have it. I mean, when you meet celebrities, you get so excited, and sometimes they're just, there's nothing kind of special about them. And one thing she said that she liked I said, what is the legacy of Days of Our Lives? What have you brought to it? And she said, what I most like about Days of Our Lives is when that person is spending Christmas alone, when that person doesn't have anyone supporting them through cancer, when that person is all alone, or if that person's, you know, been kicked out of the home because they're gay or whatever, we're always on. And we cover all types of topics. We've covered it all, from gay relationships to this and that and all of that.
Yeah, so she said, they've done everything on that.
They've done everything. So they're just like, we're always there. And she said, that is the highlight of my life, when I have people come up to me and send me emails and say, you know, you guys kept me alive almost, or you guys were always there. Mm-hmm. And I could turn on the TV and it was like home, and I knew someone was there.
Yeah.
And I could relate to the topics.
That's really the power behind soaps, in my opinion, in general. The cross-generational interest and just how what they stand for and all of that they've had. Of course, there's the crazy storylines.
Totally,
too,
like, yeah.
Returns of the Dead, but it's all, it's entertainment value.
It is.
Yeah, no, those shows, I mean, you just can't replace them when they go. They're institutions. You know, I grew up watching Guiding Light, which was on for over 70 years. And, you know, once they're gone, they're gone. But the ones that are here, and they must be celebrated for what they are and for what they represent and for the lives that they touch internationally.
Totally. And my mom, even when I saw it, I was doing it, she's like, oh my God, my grandma was like, I remember when I used to go and watch it, you know, when I used to be a school teacher part time, and I'd finish at 1 o'clock and 2 o'clock days. My mum would say, oh my God, when I was pregnant, like, it brings up memories for people because it's been on for so long. Or like when I was going through the death of my dad, I had 3 months of work. I used to watch that every day, and that provided me comfort. And everyone's got their own, you know, affiliation with Days of Our Lives, and it has touched a lot of people. So I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, what a cool experience.
Yeah.
And where can we check out these interviews?
Totally. Well, follow me on Instagram. Everything I do is on my Instagram. And my Instagram is at Dan Babic. That is DanBabic. So I'm launching my YouTube channel in the coming weeks, and my website, notbasic.com. Nice. All that owning it and being yourself. So I post everything on that, so you can see some of my interviews and all of my cool experiences on at Dan Babic.
That's great. Mm. And I want to talk a little bit about your style. You mentioned that you'd love to be part of a clothing line coming up that you would spearhead yourself. I mean, where do you shop? And you're a very sharp dresser.
Thank you. Well, I think it's very important to invest on those one piece items that stand out. So I am wearing Christian Louboutin shoes right now, which are a piece of art. Every time I wear them, people are like, wow. And yes, they were like $1,000 expensive, but everything else I'm wearing is Topman, Ralph Lauren from the outlet, Zara, Marc Jacobs, and I've got a Gucci ring. But you buy a Gucci silver ring, only $320, by the way, guys, not too expensive, and you have it forever. You buy a pair of black Christian Louboutin shoes, you have them forever. So if you buy those kind of two key pieces, everyone sees it. And it's all about the weight and the fit as well. Like, you would look much better in a H&M suit if you then spend $30 to get it tailored than you would in a Hugo Boss suit that doesn't suit you.
Yes.
So,
this is so true.
Yeah, so it's all about that and just being smart, because you don't have to spend a lot, but you just have to, on those big, those classic items that you have forever, don't spend money on you know, something that, like, when I remember, like, acid wash was really in. Mm-hmm. Like there was, like, you know, $8,000 Gucci acid wash.
Yep.
I'm like, that's not going to be in. Like, if you're going to spend money, buy a pair of shoes, buy a belt. And it really does, you know, and you don't have to be a millionaire to buy these pieces. Like, you can get something like the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Or even like my wallet. I think that was $300, Louis Vuitton. But you have it forever. You'll have it, like, it's an investment. Yeah. And those shoes, ridiculously expensive, but I wear them 4 times a week, and they will never get ruined, and they're black. I'll have them to the day I die.
Yeah. I totally agree with you. To me, the way I shop is where I'm looking for things that are very versatile. Things I can dress up and dress down. So, like, something I can put a blazer over and still be able to go out. Or not necessarily, like, I don't wear, like, denim jeans, because to me that just is just, I can't really get away with that. That's like, you can't really dress that up or down. Sometimes it's not appropriate, especially restaurants that we go to, things like that. So I'll wear, like, you know, pants from Zara or whatever like that.
Yeah.
A little bit more. They look like they could be like suit pants and things like that. So I'm always trying to find things that can be very versatile. Even coats. I think that's kind of what I do. I try to buy a lot of coats, because that can really make you look, you know, dressed up or dressed down.
Totally, And I always kind of say, like, if you like an outfit, like MrPorter.com is where all the designers, all the best designers, they're all best styled, and GQ. So just look at that and then try and recreate it. These like H&M, Zara, and Topman are your best friends.
Mm-hmm.
You can shop at all that and be perfect. And all affordable. So H&M, Zara, and Topman are like my go-to.
I like it. You know, I haven't really fully embraced Topman yet.
Get into it. The blazers are incredible.
Yeah.
And they're good for both people because they're like, like two-thirds of it is very casual and then a third is very suiting
right,
and all of that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, amazing.
Yeah. I'm still looking to connect with a few things in there. That store is hit or miss for me, but I have got some shoes from there that I love.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes. Love those shoes so much. So, like, yeah, I'll have to go in and do some research
at Topman. Yes.
Yes. So what's next for you? What's coming up?
Next is, it's my YouTube channel that's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really just, it's an exciting time because I don't know what's next. But I've been working so hard for such a long time and doing my red carpets that it's in that place where it's really, all the hard work's about to pay off. So it's really exciting. So, I've been hustling for a long time and everything is, the reality show will come out soon and so will the dating show that I hosted. And I really get to see the results and see the moolah.
Yes.
There's a lot of work in for free and you've got to, got to have jobs on the side. But, it is about to happen for me and I couldn't be happier.
That's great. Mm. That's excellent. So let's be able to keep up with you. Like you mentioned, your Instagram account is really your bread and butter of contact.
Yes, at Dan Babic, DanBabic.
Perfect.
Love it.
Right. And your website, one more time.
Yeah, well, it's not up yet. It's coming up next week, but www.not-basic.com.
That's great. I just said on this podcast not too long ago that I am not interested in anyone basic.
No.
I made a big deal about that. So I think that this is just such a great match to have you here.
Yes. I always say I didn't wake up today to be mediocre, did I? No.
And the words of Sweet Brown, ain't nobody got time for that.
Woo, I like that. There we go. That's a new one I can steal from you.
Well, on that note, we will keep up with you on social media. Mm. And thank you so much for listening, everyone. Check out Dan Babic and what's going on in his life online. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. This was fun. We should do it again sometime.
Absolutely.
Bye, guys.
This has been Grant's Rants. Follow us on Twitter at Grant's_Rants. Cover art created by Howie Roney. Voiceover by Sir Richard Wentworth. Original theme music composed by Alexander Arnson. Granted Wish Productions.